Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our virtual prayer meeting service. I want to make a special word of welcome to folks that are visiting by way of live stream as well as by Facebook. And then, of course, welcoming our regular members and attenders of Faith Baptist Church. These are difficult times in which we're living, and we as a staff on a daily basis are attempting to figure out ways that we can minister to our church and continue the function of the church while we're in a very difficult time. And so these things that we're doing, recording services, recording sermons, we're not good at these things, admittedly. Now, perhaps we will become better at them over time, but we're not good at them right now. And so I would ask for the patience of the congregation. There are a couple of things that I do need to make mention. As we have said in different social media platforms, we are canceling every church activity and all services through March 29th. Now, that is following the guidance of our president, and we want to, as a church family, have a good testimony about that, that we are doing our best to stem the tide of this viral infection. And so that includes everything. That includes the mentorship initiative. That includes all Bible studies. That includes separate prayer meetings. Every activity sponsored by the church is now canceled through March 29th. We want to make that clear. In addition to that, we do want to be available to meet needs within the church family. And obviously, we are flexible to do a number of things that can help with needs that should arise. The office of the church will not be operating from the church building. It will operate remotely. That way we can keep people safe and keep our staff secure, and we want to do that on a regular basis. That will be ongoing until I decide otherwise. So it is important to note that you can still reach the church office, which will be functioning at full capacity but in a remote location. You can still reach the church office via telephone, text, and email, and any other new technology that you can come up with. So bear that in mind. We want to make sure that people understand this. Now take your Bible with me and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 in your Bible with me. I want to talk about the crisis from a spiritual perspective and from a prayer perspective. And after we're done talking about this, we're going to have a special time of prayer. I ask that everyone tune in and not only listen to the message, but also join together in prayer in your homes or wherever you happen to be watching this broadcast. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, the Bible says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I will say more about this in a moment, but I want you to note that every battle is fundamentally a spiritual battle. Every battle is fundamentally a spiritual battle. The circumstances that arise in your life that bring chaos, that disturb you of your peace, fundamentally those things are spiritual. And so we as a church family need to be prepared to deal with this crisis, both on a physical hygiene level, of course, but also understanding that undergirding what is happening in our nation today is a spiritual attack, and we need to be aware of that. Verse number 13, "Wherefore, because everything is spiritual, because we do not wrestle only against flesh and blood," the physical, "wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Verse 18, note this, "having adorned oneself with the armor of God," and I'll speak briefly about those elements in a moment, "having adorned oneself with the armor of God," there is an action, an activity that all of us must engage in. Verse number 18, "praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." It is not enough just to arm ourselves We must be in communication with God through prayer. Now, let me go through the passage quickly, if I may, with you, and then we're going to do exactly that, have a special time of concerted prayer, gathering together in our homes as families, gathering together wherever we may be watching this video, whether you're watching live or later on the recorded version. I'm going to ask you to concentrate in prayer at the end of our little Bible study. We're going to concentrate in prayer together because that is the way that we are going to resist Satan. What does the Bible say? I think there are three main admonitions. The first one is found in verse number 10, to be strong in the Lord. Now, this does not preclude adequate safety preparations. The other day, I got caught up in the hype, and it's fun to, in a measured way, get caught up in the hype. I got caught up in the hype, and I went to Sam's Club, and I bought a lot of things. I bought not like other people were buying, but I bought a supply of things. I have 50 cans of canned salmon. I love canned salmon. It is keto-friendly. And so I bought 50 cans of canned salmon. We will use it eventually if we don't use it up through the crisis. But even in shopping the other day at Sam's Club, very, very crowded, very unusual for that time of day, even shopping at Sam's Club, there was tension in the air, particularly in the egg aisle. If you go to the egg aisle, that may be a hot spot in any grocery store. People wanted eggs, and they were in very, very low supply. They may not even have them now. But there was tension in the air about all of those things. And so it's okay to be prepared reasonably. Our government has recommended a 2-week supply of food in our homes. There is nothing unreasonable about that, okay? And if you're not adequately prepared, you maybe would want to think about that because, again, this is a government recommendation. However, the Bible says this, that Christians not only should have a sense of preparedness about them in a physical sense, but we also, in an especial sense, should be prepared in the strength of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Where does our strength actually come from? It comes from God. Understanding what is happening in our world, of course, is a physical and medical thing, but it is also a spiritual thing. Understand that there are forces of darkness that right now, even as we speak, are wrestling for the soul of this nation. The depth of this crisis, and I hope this is not true. I hope this does not happen. But it is possible that the depth of this crisis could reach into major changes in our nation. And so if the veil, and we talk about this sometimes, we refer to it, some call it spiritual warfare, if the veil were to be taken back, I wonder what we would see in the forces of darkness and the forces of God in the battle that is taking place behind the scenes. The larger battle is being waged on a spiritual level. And that means that every Christian needs to be right now on spiritual war footing. And that means to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What, Pastor Monty, what exactly does that mean? Number one, for Christians, it means to get right. To get right, to be right with God, to confess your sins. The Bible tells us if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a time when we should be drawing closer to God. Get right. Then draw nigh. Draw nigh is another way to stand in the power of the Lord, to be strong in His power. What does it mean to draw nigh? James 4:8 says this, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Do not be frustrated. Someone said, Pastor Marty, where is God in the midst of all of this? God is here. And by the way, God is sovereign and God is in control. And God may be using the course of events that we're now seeing to get a hold of the heart and the mind of this nation to wake us up. If you read the prophets historically, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the minor prophets, every one of them pointed to the calamity that Israel would face, the judgments, the deportation, ultimately the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Every one of them pointed to the absolute calamity of that time and said, this is God trying to get our attention. Do not turn your back on Him, no matter how deep this crisis goes. This may be God getting our attention. James 4:8, draw nigh to God. So how am I strong in the Lord? I get right. I draw nigh. Number three, I tune in. I tune in. What are you saying, Pastor Monty? I'm telling you to read your Bible as you never have before. Now, let me recommend something to you. I think that the Psalms would be a good place to go, reading for comfort, reading also to arm ourselves mentally. Because if Satan can get into the mind, and it's interesting, the helmet of salvation, spoken of later on in the passage, the helmet protects the head, and the head, the skull, protects what? It protects the mind. If Satan can get in our head in regard to this, then we are in trouble. But the helmet of salvation, concentrating on the fact that I am a born-again child of God, that I am in Christ, concentrating on the fact that there is nothing that can harm me as I resist the devil, understanding that God is bigger than all of this. Ladies and gentlemen, when I think of the glories of my salvation, my position in Christ, and my absolute assurance that no matter what happens, I will be present with the Lord, when I think about that, those are the thoughts that flood my mind, all about the matter of salvation. Tune in to the Word of God. If you're not having daily devotions, start them now. The church has provided daily devotions that come out on an email basis. If you want to sign up for that, you need to contact the church office. We'll be announcing something else in a moment as well. So tune in, read your Bible, and then pray constantly. How do I stay strong in the Lord? I get right, I draw nigh, I tune in, and I pray constantly. What does that mean? It means to always have an attitude of prayer. This is a time for every one of us to talk more to the Lord than we ever have. And we talk to the Lord on behalf of ourselves and our families, our church, but also on behalf of others. Folks that really need prayer, we need to concentrate on praying. Now, in regard to staying strong in the Lord, I'm going to announce something that we have decided upon as a staff. We want to be present and available in your lives. The social distancing mandate of our president must be followed to the best of our ability, except in the most extreme circumstances. Therefore, I've met with our staff, and we're going to begin tomorrow a daily devotional. That will be a video devotional. Each of the pastors will have a different day. We'll switch off, and we'll be sharing a maybe 10 or 15 minute devotional with the church family, and those devotionals will be posted on social media. That way, every single day, if you want to hear God's word, if you want a word from your pastors, if you want to be encouraged, every day you will be able to tune in to a recording. They will be different, of course, every day, and different staff members every day, so that you can listen. We will, of course, probably announce things as they unfold. We'll announce them in the devotional time as well as in other more formalized announcements. But this is a way for us as a staff to connect with our church. I'm not a tech guy. You know that. You know that congregation. You know that John Layton over. Oh, John Layton's not over there. Okay, empty auditorium. You know that. I'm not a tech guy. But I'm amazed at how thankful I am that I feel like right now I have the ability to minister to my flock and obey the mandate of the president. Consider if we were 50 years ago. The doors would be shuttered, the services would be down, and all we would have is the telephone. Consider where we would be 100 years ago. We wouldn't even have so much as telephone communication. In this day and time, our church is going to take advantage of the advanced technology that we have in place already in our church so that we can continue to minister, be strong in the Lord. But then, verses 11 through 17 talk about being prepared for the battle, being prepared for the battle. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now note the words, stand against the wiles of the devil. Drop down to verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay? Church family, the Word of God instructs us in the midst of what is fundamentally a spiritual battle that we are to stand. We are to stand. This means we're not running, we're not fleeing. We are following government guidelines. But we are continuing to minister the Word of God, and we are standing firm in our faith. It means that there is going to be pressure from the devil. The idea of the word withstand means that there is pressure put against us. There is for some anxiety. There is for others a feeling of uncertainty. There is for others a feeling that the world right now is spinning out of control. Stop, and stand. Here is what I know. This book is the Word of God. God is in control. I will not fall, I will not falter, I will not fail, I will stand. And he gives us the way to stand, and that is verses 11 and 13, by putting on the whole armor of God. And there are a list of things. I want to go through these quickly with you, if I may. Number one, he says, truth, truth. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What does that mean? It means bearing in mind that there is solid truth. Now, I'm going to be frank with you. A lot of us feel that the media may be overblowing this. And I think we have precedent for the media's manipulation and overblowing of a circumstance. I'm not minimizing the danger of this. By the way, if you want to know what my barometer is our president, Donald Trump. If Donald Trump, and I don't care how you feel about Donald Trump right now, he is your president. And if Donald Trump is taking this seriously, I must take it seriously. I hope everyone understands that. And I have a responsibility to lead in a way that honors Romans chapter 13. So I'm taking the matter very, very seriously. But truth is hard to come by. The media is filled with slant. It is awash with garbage today. Not all media, but the majority of the media, certainly CNN and some of the national media outlets that are trying to frame the thinking of the American public. That's not guaranteed truth. You say, well, Pastor Mahdi, what is truth? Is the CDC telling the truth? I'm listening to the CDC guidelines right now, and I think all Americans should. But where does the truth really lie? I have no way of knowing. But here's what I do know. Watch this, church. The book I hold in my hand is truth. That is the truth. So what do? I arm myself with something that I know categorically and objectively is absolute truth. That's part of the armor of God. The next thing is righteousness. The end of verse number 14 says that we are to have on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, very defensive. It's like what we would call a bulletproof vest today. Righteousness is the bulletproof vest. You say, Pastor Monty, wait a minute. Righteousness, does that just mean right living? Well, it certainly means that. But I think it means something more. It means I am declared righteous in Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. I am bulletproof because I am saved. I am bulletproof because I am a Christian. I am bulletproof because my position in Christ cannot, will not change. There is nothing, Paul said, that can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing! And therefore I am bulletproof. When I put on the breastplate of righteousness, it is my mentally acknowledging on a daily basis that in Christ Jesus positionally, I am bulletproof. We need to understand that. Then there's another part of the armor of God, and that is verse 15, the gospel. Look at verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What in the world is that talking about? Okay, the feet are the way by which things are carried. We move around with our feet. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace means this, that in spiritual battle, the gospel and evangelism are central and important. It's very easy for us to get this inward focus and only protect ourselves now at this time. But God says this, take advantage of the battle, because in the battle, people's hearts will be open to the gospel. Church family, part of the armor of God is my willingness to evangelize to the extent that I can during this time. Part of my taking on the armor of God is understanding that there are people now who just a month ago felt very secure, and today they feel very shaky, and they're wondering, where is God? You have that message, and part of the armor of God is to be militant about evangelism, sharing the gospel at a proper social distance, but sharing the gospel with friends, with neighbors, and frankly, being bold in your testimony at this time. The impact could be huge if we will all be involved in that. The fourth part of the armor of God is this. It is the most important part because the Bible says so. It is faith. Look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Pastor Mahdi, what is the one thing that I'm going to do to deflect Satan's attack? I am going to hold consistently and strongly the shield of faith. And he says in verse number 16, above all. In other words, this is the most important thing. It certainly talks about not forsaking our faith. But I think it also talks about exercising our faith, building our faith. How do we build our faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. One of the reasons we're going to have daily devotions for you from the pastoral staff is so that your faith can be built in a time of trial. Now look, do what you think you need to do for personal protection. Do what you think you need to do about supplies. And I think following government guidelines is a wise decision. But above all else, believe in God. Assure one another. Encourage one another through emails, texts, and phone calls. Hey, God is on the throne. I believe in Him. I'm not shaken. I'm not shaken by all of this. My faith, by the way, you say, Pastor Monty, this is all so horrible. I don't know if the world can get any worse. Hey, pause with me for a minute. Have you ever read the book of Revelation? Have you read the book of Revelation? It is going to get way worse. Now, having said that, I believe that the rapture of the church, the return of Christ, could be very soon. Wouldn't that be a blessing in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible? Wouldn't that be a blessing? That would be. But understand something. We haven't seen the worst of what this world is one day going to see. And our faith teaches us that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Holding to our faith, that's part of the armor of God. Salvation, I mentioned it a moment ago, the helmet that protects us mentally. Thinking about the fact that no matter what happens, we're safe in the person of Jesus because we're saved. Pastor Monty, what if I get the coronavirus? Okay, one or two things will happen. You will either recover or you will die. But you will always remain alive if you know Christ. Isn't that a good thought? Every one of us is going to have to check out somehow. I've always hoped for martyrdom, because according to the Bible, you get more prizes if you're martyred. I've always hoped for that. And by the way, it's more dramatic, you know, and it's just exciting. And of course, I'm being facetious, but truly, really, I'm not. But anyway, so all of us are going to have to check out somehow. But when I check out, I'm moving from one room to the next. I'm moving from a broken, wicked, sorrow-filled, disease-filled world into the glories of heaven. And you know why? Because I know that I'm saved. Because I know that I have come to Christ as my personal Savior, and I have that absolute assurance. And that helmet of salvation protects me mentally from everything that's happening around. I think it was Sunday, we did the Psalm 91. Read that. Read that. 1,000 shall fall at my side. 10,000 at my right hand. It shall not come nigh me. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get sick. It shall not come nigh me means this. There is nothing, nothing, nothing that can separate me from the love of God. The helmet of salvation. And then I love this, verse 17. Look at it with me, please. Take the helmet of salvation and, here it is, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Bible is here and in other places described as a sword. And a sword is defensive, okay? The Bible keeps me as I read it, as I claim its promises, as I love it, as I fall in love with the Word of God again, it keeps me. But the Bible also is offensive. In other words, I can go after people with the Bible. I can tell them the gospel. I can preach to them. I have an opportunity. The Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, that's what He's going to use. Pastor Monty, I'm so nervous. I just want to hear something from God. Okay, don't look for a vision. Don't look for an audible voice, okay? You're not that special. Look right here. Do you see what I'm holding in my hand? This is the Word of God. The voice of God will come to your heart and your mind as you read the Word of God. And the sword of the Spirit will defend you. The sword of the Spirit will help you in the spiritual battle. And ladies and gentlemen, it will be amazing if we do all these things, if we prepare for battle, how God will use us in a troubling time. So, be strong in the Lord, be prepared for battle. Number three, be constant in prayer. Look at verse 18 as I close. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication. So we put on the armor of God, but now he says, be in communication with your commander. Who is our commander? It is God. Communicate your needs. Communicate your issues. If you were on a battlefield and you were in the front lines, there is always someone on the front lines who is in direct communication with the commander. He's telling the commander the conditions on the ground. He's getting instructions from the commander as to whether to stand or whether to move forward in the battle. And prayer is that avenue. It's constant prayer. We're continual, praying always, constant prayer. It's Spirit-led prayer in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Okay, Pastor Monty, I'm not sure what to pray. We're going to teach you that in one of my devotions coming up. I'm going to teach you that later on. But praying the Word of God is a good thing to do. Perseverance. Pastor Monty, I prayed about it. God didn't answer my prayer. No. Perseverance in prayer means that things could be worse before they get better. Don't stop praying. And then, of course, the prayer also is to be others-focused. For whom are we to pray? We're to pray with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Folks, pray for one another. Pray for our nation. I'm going to ask you, and we will in a moment, to pray for our president. But what this nation needs is Christians who are strong in the Lord, Christians who are prepared for battle, and Christians who are constant in prayer. This is a battle cry. These are our instructions. This is the military mission. And I know this, Faith Baptist Church will not fail. So ladies and gentlemen, I want you to take advantage of everything we're doing to try to encourage, to help, and instruct you during this time. Let's draw close to God. I'm going to ask Pastor Morris now if he will come and lead us in our prayer time.
Thank you, Pastor Monty, for that message. Let's go to prayer. Lord, we're so thankful for what we have here, the opportunity we have just to share the gospel in a different way. We're thankful that we can do that in this time in our society, and we pray especially now for the health and safety of our members and our staff. I know, Lord, there are a lot of people that are already not in good health, that are struggling with different ailments and sicknesses, and I pray especially for them. I pray that you'll continue to keep them safe, help them to use wisdom in keeping themselves somewhat isolated, and I pray, Lord, that all their needs will be met. I think of their physical health and well-being, but, Lord, I also think of their spiritual health and well-being. I pray that you'll help us not to panic, but simply just to rest in thee. May this be a time, as Pastor said, that our faith increases rather than decreases. May this be a time where we grow closer to you while we can't be closer to each other. I just pray, Lord, you'll meet all the needs of our church. We're so thankful for the financial stability of our church. We're thankful for the wisdom of our deacons and our pastor in using the funds that have come in to meet the many needs of our church and to continue to spread the gospel around the world. We pray that that will also continue. Help us to make sure that we're aware of the monetary cost of not only this building, but the new building, and then all the ministries that are here. Help our people to be faithful in giving. I pray that you'll help us all to do our part. I know, Lord, there's several ways we can do that, and that's all been delineated to our people. And I pray that you'll help them to take advantage of that and to meet those needs. I also pray, Lord, that you'll help our members who may be struggling financially. I know not everyone has a salary job where they get paid whether they go to work or not. And I pray, Lord, that you'll meet the many needs of those people. Help us as a staff and as a deacon body to be aware of those needs, to meet them any way we can and any time we can. Help us to be faithful in looking out for our own people. We're thankful, Lord, for the technology we have where we can call or we can text and we can meet those needs. I pray that you'll give our people just the simple courage to make a phone call if they have a need, to talk to us, let us know how we can help them. And, Lord, of course, we pray for the continued effectiveness of this video campaign. I'm thankful, again, that we can do that. And while, Lord, in a sense, we're not having church, the church is not this building, the church is not this gathering, the church is the people. And as long as we can continue to give the gospel out, whether it's video, whether it's by phone or by text, Lord, I pray that it'll continue to be effective. We still have our Bibles and we still have prayer. And, Lord, we can still meet in this way. And I pray that you'll help these services that we do online and the devotions that we do, everything that's said and done in this next week by our staff to help to meet the spiritual needs of our people. I pray, Lord, you'll help them to understand that it's also their responsibility to be reading their Bible, to be praying. What a wonderful opportunity they have if they're staying at home to talk to their children, to talk to their spouses about the scriptures, and to spend time, Lord, sharing gospel truths. I know, Lord, it's tempting just to sit home and veg out and watch the television. Lord, that's not what this time is about. We have an opportunity to continue to teach and preach the gospel to our own individual families, to be what we're supposed to be, the spiritual leader of our home. And I pray, Lord, you help our people to do that. May many be reached because of this time of separation, where we've separated unto ourselves, but Lord, we can continue to reach others. We pray that you'll help us to do that and continue to meet the many needs of our church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, as we continue to come to you today in this, to us, very strange time, something that we don't understand, we know that you're still on the throne, and we thank you for that. And Lord, you still hear our prayers, and you still answer our prayers, and ultimately, Lord, you're in control of all, and we thank you for that. And Lord, as has already been discussed and prayed, I do pray for the continuation of the ministries of this church, the many, many things that have to be put on hold for a time, but Lord, ultimately, that we would continue to move forward for you in any creative way that we can. Lord, right now, a few miles from where we stand, we have a building under construction, a building that you led us into, Lord. You have brought the people together to design and pay for this building. Lord, we thank you for the progress that has been made on it, and for the great weather that you've given us in allowing there to be no delays along the way. And Lord, as we come into this time of unknown during this health crisis, Lord, there is the potential for delay in other ways that we really could not have even anticipated. And Lord, right now that building is still under construction, as progress is still being made, because we know that in a few months this crisis, this virus will be passed and ministry will continue as normal. And Lord, we look forward to moving into that building where we can do so much more for you, Lord, where more people can come together to hear your word preached, and where the gospel will be preached and souls will be saved, and Lord, will missionaries be called and sent. But Lord, right now I pray that you would bless the continuation of this construction project, even during these uncertain times. Lord, I pray for the health of those who are working on the building, Lord, for Jeff and for Chris, our contractors who are overseeing the project. Please keep them healthy, Lord, and continue to give them wisdom as they work through the many aspects and moving parts to building a building of this scale. Lord, for the construction workers themselves, Lord, all the different trades that are in the building working. Of course, Lord, we've been praying for their safety all along the way, but Lord, now we add to that we would pray for you to protect them from illness. Lord, I pray that no one would contract it in any way, but if someone does, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't bring it to that construction site and share it with others. So, Lord, please continue to protect our construction workers. And, Lord, as a church, I thank you for the members for the members who have given so faithfully to this project, Lord, and we've seen you provide over and over again through the generosity and faithfulness of this body. And Lord, I pray that even during these uncertain times when we're not able to get together, Lord, that we would continue to be faithful in giving, Lord, to all the various aspects of ministry, Lord, but in addition to that, to continue to give faithfully to the building project, Lord, so that we continue to pay for this building that you've led us into. So, Lord, as we look at that, we're excited about the future, we're uncertain about the future, but we know that you're in control, and we thank you for that. And, Lord, again, as we are unable to meet together as a group, Lord, as the pastoral staff and the rest of the leaders are trying to make wise decisions for this body, Lord, I pray that you would provide a sense of unity among all those who are having to make tough decisions. Lord, a sense of unity really in our entire church body, that we would all band together, even when we can't do so physically, Lord, that we'd band together in unity before you. Lord, that we would be helpful to each other. Lord, that we would lift each other up in prayer. And in a time of need, if there be one, Lord, that we would take care of each other. Lord, I pray that our staff would be unified in our goal to continue the ministry of Faith Baptist Church, that we'd be unified under the leadership of Pastor Monty. Lord, for our deacons, as they continue to serve and minister amongst our congregation, Lord, I pray that you'd make them effective in that, that you protect anyone who has to visit someone else, protect them, put a hedge of protection around them, Lord, to not contract any illness. And Lord, that the deacons, as they also meet the role of helping to be advisors to the leadership here, Lord, I pray that we would all be in unity together. And for our Sunday school teachers, Lord, as they look out for their class members, Lord, I pray that a time of crisis wouldn't tear us apart. I pray, Lord, that the devil would not have his way. Lord, it's uncertain why things happen and whether the devil himself has any direct ability or in this case, whether the devil himself is actually directing what's happening. Lord, we know that he will take advantage of it one way or the other. And so, Lord, I pray that he would not have the victory here at Faith Baptist Church, but that you would. Lord, I pray that our staff and our deacons and the rest of our leadership, Lord, be unified before you, and that this would be a time of growth for Faith Baptist Church, not a time that tears us apart. And Lord, for the many government leaders throughout our state and our country, Lord, who are having to make tough decisions. Lord, I think of President Trump right now. Lord, I'm sure he is no doubt privy to information that we don't have. And as Pastor Monty mentioned, Lord, he has to be, for lack of any other reliable source, he has to be our barometer of understanding and direction. So, Lord, I pray that whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not, that we'd be unified in following our leadership and that we'd have a right attitude toward them. Pray, Lord, that you give President Trump and his advisors and those working directly under him, Lord, wisdom as they determine how we as an American people should move forward and what we should do to protect our country and our people. Lord, on a state level, I think of our governor, Lord, I thank you for him. And again, just like the president, Lord, he's having to make tough decisions for this state. And Lord, I pray as he and his advisors and the leadership under him make these decisions, Lord, that you give them great wisdom. Lord, I pray that things would be done that would be truly for the right motive, Lord, to protect the people of this country and this state, Lord. And of course, our local leaders, Lord, our local city and town leadership, our school board leadership, Lord, and other things around, Lord, as decisions are made to shut down businesses and schools and to try to stem the tide of this virus, Lord, I pray that you'd give each of these wisdom, Lord, and guidance. There will be many who won't agree. There will be many who will vocally stand against them. So, Lord, I pray that you would lead them, that you give them the strength to do what they need to do and make the decisions they need to make. And, Lord, I pray that those decisions would be made with a pure heart and a pure motive, Lord, to genuinely protect the people of our towns, cities, our state, and our country. Lord, we love you. We thank you again that you meet with us today and you hear our prayers. And Lord, we look forward to seeing what you're going to do through this. We can't see it now. We can't understand it now. But we know that we'll look back and see what you did through this. And we thank you for it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I entreat you as the omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, unchanging God, Lord, we are in a time of uncertainty. But Father, you are not uncertain. We are frail. But Father, you are all powerful. Father, we react in different ways because of our limited understanding and our limited perspective. But Father, you know the end from the beginning. Father, this is something that we've never experienced as a country. Certainly, those of us that are alive today have never experienced anything like this. But Father, you have always been God. You were sovereign through wars and pestilence and disease and famine. Father, as your creation groans because of the burden of sin, you have always been the unchanging, all-powerful God, and that's who we entreat today. Father, this time of prayer, we ask for your guidance and we ask for your strength, specifically for our health care providers and institutions where they are employed and where they serve. Lord, we know that they are going to be overwhelmed with patients. And Father, we ask you right now very specifically for you to undergird them with your grace and with your strength, a supernatural strength. As Father, much is going to be expected of them. And Father, we ask for you to keep them well, keep them healthy as they serve and minister to those that are in need of medical attention. Father, we also ask in the same vein, as there are many in the healthcare industry that are working on cures and vaccines and working on treatments for this and many other diseases. We ask for your guidance in that, Lord. We recognize that the advancements that have been made in the medical industry, in the medical world over the past 200 years are a direct result of the wisdom that you've given. And we believe that it brings great glory to you. As diseases are cured and pandemics are squelched, Father, we believe that that gives you the glory. We ask for that continued glory. Father, as we take steps that are asked of us, we pray that we would see those steps effective in minimizing the disease, in flattening the curve, as we've heard. We pray that that will happen. We pray that we would see across the United States a diminished impact. There are many predictions all over the place, Lord, but we know and we trust in you. And we're asking something undeserving, that you would bless this country, that you would heal our land, Father, that you would minimize the effectiveness of this pandemic. Father, we pray for the general impact that this will have on our nation. We certainly know that economically this is going to have a major impact. Father, we rest in you. Father, we know that there's great uncertainty in the hearts of many Americans as it relates to their jobs, as it relates to their investments, as it relates to their sense of wealth and security financially. But may we rest in you. May we find our richness in you. Father, we think of those that will be out of work. Father, may the church step up to the plate. May the church be there to minister. May the church be there to give and to serve. Very grateful for those that have already connected with us this week and volunteered their services to those who might be in greater need. Lord, we would ask you, as the unchanging, almighty, powerful God, that you would wrap us up in the arms of your grace, that we may see you. Maybe this is a time that a lot of the externals are pulled away from us. Maybe this is a time that uncomfortable things come into our life, Father, that we may, our nest may be stirred up a bit, that we may look to you for guidance, look to you for comfort, look to you for strength and stability. May that be the case. Father, may Jesus Christ receive the glory. May souls come to him. May you bless our great country for the sake of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
I want to again remind you that the church office, beginning tomorrow, will be moved to a remote location. I want you to feel free to contact the church office via telephone, email, or text. Of course, many of you have my personal cell phone number as well. We do stand ready to meet any need that you would have. We're eager to do so as a church staff. So understand that. And be looking tomorrow for the first in a series of devotionals that will be posted on our social media outlets. These will be conducted by our staff members. We want to give you as much assurance and as much of the Word of God as we possibly can. And now, Father, we love you. Thank you for our position in Christ. Thank you that your church is more than adequately prepared to meet the challenge of this day, because we are more than conquerors. Thank you, Lord, that spiritually speaking, we have everything we need to rise up, to stand up, and to testify of the grace, the strength, and the wonder of salvation in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray you'll protect our church family. Give us each wisdom as to what we need to do individually for that protection. Father, I pray that you will guide us in decisions to be made at the church. And Lord, that you will unify us through this as never before. Because, Father, we are truly in a battle. And the battle is the Lord's. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Protect us, keep us, guide us. Help us, Lord, to love you more, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and you may go back to your families.